Deuteronomy and the 8th chapter, commencing to read at the opening verse. Let us follow on and hear the word of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and reading from the verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee unto a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he may humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Amen. We'll end our reading at the close of the chapter, and it is our prayer that the Lord will bless the public reading of his inspired word to our hearts. The book of Deuteronomy was written by Moses at the end of the wilderness wanderings, that 40-year period when Israel made their journey from Egypt to Canaan. And his purpose in writing the book of Deuteronomy was to repeat the law of God and to give instruction to a new generation of Israelites as they entered the promised land. Remember, the old generation died out in the wilderness. And it was a new generation of Israelites who entered into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. And Deuteronomy repeats, re-emphasizes the law of God. It never changed. And Moses wrote the same instructions, the same words in Deuteronomy as he had written in Exodus, but it was reminding the children of Israel, God's word doesn't change with the passing of a generation. Remains the same. And he wrote it to give instruction and further instruction into how the children of Israel should live as they entered the promised land of Canaan. The chapter 8 of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses was calling the children of Israel to remember the past 40 years. Look at verse 2. Thou shalt remember. And he is calling the Israelites to remember the past dealings of the Lord with them. And what a principle that is for the children of the Lord. We are to remember how God has dealt with us in the past, and we are to learn the lessons from it, because if we don't learn the lessons of the past, we will make the same mistakes as we move into the future. And so Moses calls the children of Israel to remember. You'll notice in verse 2 and 3, he called them to remember the path the Lord led them. Look at verse 2. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. It was God who brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. He redeemed them by the blood of the Lamb. The blood was sprinkled on the doorposts the evening of the Passover, and the following morning, or that night as it were, the early hours, God brought them out of Egypt, and he was bringing them to the land of Canaan, their inheritance. But in between their exodus from Egypt and their entrance into Canaan, they had to travel through the wilderness, and they traveled through that wilderness for 40 years, and God led them through it. It was God, you'll notice in verse 2, the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. The wilderness was a barren place. The wilderness was a hard place. It had none of life's comforts. And it brought the children of Israel great trials, great difficulties, and great hardships. And yet Moses is saying to the children of Israel, you remember that the Lord led you to the wilderness, and he led you through the wilderness. You see, child of God, sometimes the Lord leads us down a path that has hardships and difficulties. The road to heaven is not an easy road. There are trials, there are difficulties, there are many extreme experiences that we face on the journey to heaven. And yet God is reminding the children of Israel that he led them through that wilderness and through the hard place. And he gives the reason why. To humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. The Lord tells the children of Israel, I brought you through that wilderness experience, that hard experience, that barren experience, so that I would prove you to see whether you would keep the commandments of God or not. You see, true children of God, they hold on to the Lord. They trust the Lord. They obey the Lord. They follow the Lord in the hard times, not just the easy times. And the Lord brings his people through the wilderness so they may see themselves that they will continue to follow the Lord through the hardness of the journey. Whatever path the Lord has led you and is leading you, you remember this. He's leading you on that journey to heaven. And when trials and difficulties and extremities come our way, the Lord is proving us to see whether we will go on with him and follow him until we reach the promised land. They were called to remember the path that God led them, but then they were called to remember the provision God gave them. Look at verse 3. He humbled them and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. In the wilderness nothing grew. There was no corn. There was no wheat. There was no bread. And the question will be asked, how could people survive in the wilderness? Humanly speaking, it was impossible. And there were millions of Israelites through living in the wilderness for 40 years. And they suffered hunger, and God permitted them to suffer hunger. Why did he permit them to suffer hunger? That in his mighty power, he would do something for them that was unknown to mankind before them. And as far as I'm aware, it was been unknown to mankind after them. God, by his mighty power, sent down manna 6 days of the week. And on the sixth day, he sent down a double portion for the seventh day, the day of rest. And 6 days of the week, they gathered in the manna like the coriander seed, like the bread, as it were, from heaven. And God fed them. He did a miracle. He did something out of his mighty power to provide manna, heavenly bread for them to sustain them and meet their need throughout those 40 years in the wilderness. And he provided for them in this supernatural, remarkable way so that he would teach them. My God shall supply all of your needs according to the riches of his grace. And my friend, when you come to extreme situations and you have a great need within your life or within your home, then the Lord is challenging you to remember how he has provided in the past. And he is challenging you to remember that God can do the new thing. He can do the miraculous, as it were, in your life to meet the need of the hour. Because he provided in a wonderful, miraculous way for the children of Israel. My God shall supply all your needs, and therefore in your extreme circumstances, you should rely and trust in the Lord. The children of Israel were called to remember the path God led them. They were called to remember the provision God gave them. But then, as verse 3 comes to a close, they were called to remember a principle that God taught them. Look at the end of verse 3, that ye know. Or he says that he might make thee to know. God gave them manna from heaven that they might know and understand. This is the spiritual principle that he's teaching them. That man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. The Lord draws a spiritual lesson. He draws a spiritual message from that historic event when he sent down manna from heaven to feed the people. And the spiritual lesson is this, that as bread is food for the body, so God's word is food for the soul. Man is not just a physical being, he is a spiritual being. He has a soul. And as the body needs fed with food, with the bread of this world, so the soul needs fed and sustained with spiritual food. And God's word, the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, is the spiritual food for your soul. And therefore, man needs to feed his soul upon the word of God. In this life, you'll notice from the end of verse 3, it tells us man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. God's word is his spoken word that has proceeded out of his mouth. Where will you find God's word today? Are we listening for audible voices? Are we awaiting on the prophet to say he has a direct communication from heaven? No. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And do you see the word inspiration there? In 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, the word inspiration is the Greek word theopneustia, and it literally means God breathed. All scripture is given by the breath of God. That's what Paul's saying to Timothy. As the breath emanates from the body, so God's word emanates from him. It comes from him as the breath comes from the body. The word of God, the scriptures, are the God-breathed word. And that is today where we find the word that has proceeded out of the mouth of God. His prophets, his apostles have recorded it. It has been written down in this book inspired of him. And this is where we will find the word that has proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. The Bible, therefore, is God's breathed word. And it is spiritual food for your soul. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. And for the time that we have remaining this morning, that's the theme I want to just emphasize. Living by and on the word of God. And I want you to see from the end of verse 3, three things about this theme, living by or on the word of God. I want you to see, firstly, the value of God's word. And I'm emphasizing that little phrase at the end of verse 3. Doth man live? Now let's read it again, but particularly pay attention to that little phrase. Man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, doth man live. In other words, Moses is saying that for spiritual life to be sustained and to be strengthened within a believer's soul, that Christian, that believer, must feed his soul upon God's word. We live on and by the word of God, just as the physical man lives on and feeds upon literal food, and he is strengthened, he is kept, he is sustained by that food. As the body is sustained and strengthened by it, so the soul is kept, is sustained, is strengthened by feeding upon the word of God. Can I say too that you who believe, you who are saved, your spiritual life commenced, your spiritual experience began in your soul by the word of God. It was Paul who said, writing to the Romans in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It was Peter who, writing in 1 Peter 1 and 23, said, we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, even by the word of God. And our spiritual life began when we heard the word of our salvation. It worked effectually within us. It convicted us of our sin. It showed us that Christ was the only Savior, that His blood could cleanse us from all our sin. And we were led to the place where we believed the Word, we trusted in it, and faith was wrought in our heart by the Word of God. That spiritual life commenced. Before that we were dead in trespasses and in sins. But that life, that spiritual and eternal life, started within us by the word of God working effectually within us. And what the Lord is saying in this verse through Moses is that that life will only be sustained, will only be nourished, will only be developed. We will only come to maturity in the faith as we feed upon the word of the Lord. Again, isn't that what Peter taught in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, he likened the new Christian to the wee baby. As newborn babes, when you were saved, you're like, spiritually speaking, you were like the babe in the mother's arms. You had new life. But you were dependent, as it were, upon another to feed you and to bring you to maturity. And as the mother gives the child milk and the child takes the milk in, the milk builds the child up. It strengthens the child. It causes the child to develop into maturity. And so it is with the Word of God. It's the Word of God is the milk, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If you want to be strong in the Lord, if you want to grow up in the Lord, then we begin and we continue by taking in the milk of God's Word. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul went on to describe God's Word in another way. He described it as strong meat. I have no doubt you've heard it said before, you don't give the little baby the pieces of steak, no matter how small you cut them. The child is not able to take the strong meat in. It begins with the milk. But then, as the child grows, it's maybe not too long until you go to the restaurant and the children's menu just doesn't satisfy it anymore. It's looking what's on, the child's looking what's on the adult's menu. They grow to take the strong and solid food. And child of God, the Bible is not only milk for the young, but it's meat for the strong. And there ought to be that developing, that going on in the Word of God, that we drink in the milk and then we begin to digest the meat of God's Word. For it is the meat and the milk that strengthens us and sustains us and brings us to that point of maturity in the Christian life when we take in the Word of God. You take milk and meat from a man. You take bread and basic food away from a man, he will begin to weaken. He will lose his strength. Eventually he will become ill and he will die. And so it is with the Christian. You cannot live. Spiritually speaking, you cannot make progress. You cannot be strong. You cannot be mature. You cannot be healthy in your walk and witness for the Lord if you neglect and you set aside and you stop feeding upon the Word of the Lord. Now, when you consider what God's Word is likened to, the basic food for the soul, then that means that God's Word should be the most valuable thing in the world to a Christian. You can't live spiritually without the Word of God. And that means the Word of God should be the most valuable thing in the world to you as a Christian. I ask you this morning and I challenge you, how much value do you place upon the Word of God? Do you view it like King Jehoiakim in Jeremiah chapter 36? The prophet preached the Word of God and he wrote it down. And as he read it out of the book, the scribe read the Word out of the scroll to the king. He took his penknife and he cut it out and he threw it in the fire. That's the value the king put on the Word of God. It's of no use to me. It's a hindrance. I don't want to hear it. Of course, God told Jeremiah, you write again the words of the book. The king tried to burn the Word and the prophet wrote it again. The king's long gone and God's Word's in our hands today. You can't destroy God's Word. But men and women, I ask you, how much do you value the Word? Is it like the king? You set it aside. You discard it. You want to put it out of your life and burn it. Or do you view God's Word as a starving man views a plate of food or a bowl of pottage? Remember Esau? He was dying. He'd been out in the field hunting and he had been unsuccessful.
And he came in from the field, and there Jacob had the bowl of pottage, and he was on the point of starvation and death, and he gave everything away. He sold his spiritual birthright, and he was wrong to do so, but he gave it all away to get a bowl of food to sustain his body. You know what Job said in Job chapter 23, verse 12? I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job said God's word was more important to him than even his necessary food. You see, food sustains the body that will eventually die, no matter how much we feed it. But God's word sustains the soul that will never die. It will live on for all eternity. And Job could say, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of silver and gold. It's more precious to me than all the money that I could receive, because my spiritual life, my walk with God, my progress with the Savior is bound up in this book. You can't live for the Lord. You can't go on with the Lord. You can't get to know the Lord in a deeper way without this book. You live your Christian life by it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And therefore, you should value more than anything else in your life. The little children's chorus said, we have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. We will travel together, my Bible and I. It's the greatest treasure that we have on this earth. Look again at Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I want you to see the second thing about living by the word. Not only the value of God's word, but the variety of God's word. Let's read that phrase again, and there's one word I'm going to emphasize. Man doth not live by bread only, but by every word. And I'm emphasizing the word every. Man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. God's word has been described as a table in the wilderness. In Psalm 78 verse 19, we read of the children of Israel and their unbelief and their challenge to God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Moses, we're in this barren place. There's no food for the soul. Can the Lord spread a table before us? And the Lord rebuked their unbelief. And he sent the manna and he sent the quails. And it was like the table spread in the wilderness. And it had all manner of delicacies and delights for the children of Israel. The psalmist in Psalm 23 said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And the Bible, as we live the Christian life, the Bible is like that table spread and set before us with a feast upon it. And every word of God is like a dish or a delicacy for the soul. The Bible is full of history. Inspired history. History that is a true account of the record of this world from its beginning until now. The Bible not only contains history, but it contains prophecy. Things that must shortly come to pass. It not only contains history and prophecy, it contains doctrine or teaching and learning. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. What we believe, we are to believe because it is set forth and it is taught in this book. The Bible contains history, it contains prophecy, it contains doctrine, it contains commands for life. We're not to forget the commandments of the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The Bible contains promises. Promises for every believer. Promises to encourage us. Promises to help us. Promises to believe in. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with thee always. Just an example of some of the promises of Scripture. The Bible contains experiences of the men of God of old, and these things were written for our learning, that we might learn from their experience and follow on to know the Lord. And what the Lord is telling Moses is that every word, every part of Scripture is for the life and for the blessing and for the maturing of the Christian. I know, believer, listen, I'm as guilty as anybody. We have favorite passages, haven't we? We have favorite chapters. And we go to them again and again. And maybe some morning we're getting down to read the book of Leviticus. Or we're reading those early chapters in First Chronicles. And it's name after name after name. And we think it will be much more easy to read Isaiah 53. It will be much more easy to read Matthew 24 about the Lord's coming again. It will be much easier to read this passage or that passage. The point we're making is this. We all have our favorite passages and portions, don't we? But what the Lord is saying, we're not to neglect any of God's word. It's all for our spiritual life. It's all to sustain us and edify us and build us up in our most holy faith. And this verse teaches us that God has given us all of his word to feed upon. Child of God, never come with the attitude to God's word. This section of the Bible, it's too hard. I don't understand it. I can't see what it's saying. And we just neglect it and pass on by. No, the Lord is saying we're to come to every portion of Scripture with the attitude, Master, speak, thy servant heareth. The Lord is able to teach us. The Lord is able to show us. The Lord is able to instruct us from every part and every portion of God's word. And every word of God is for us. Doesn't it emphasize to us as well, not only that every word of God and every section of God's word is important, it's for the benefit and instruction of God's people. We might go a little further and say, not only does this teach us that every word of God is important, every word of God is inspired. Oh, the great question, in fact, it's the modernist has not merely questioned but has denied the verbal inspiration of the Scriptures. And some will go as far as trying to compromise and say, well, God gave the prophets the general idea of his word, and the prophet then expressed it himself in writing. The Bible tells us not only here in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, but in many other places, that every word of God that proceedeth from his mouth is inspired of him. And God gave the very words to the prophets. He gave them the very words to write. He's saying, you have to live by every word of the Lord. And therefore we can say that every word in this book was given by the Lord. He gave the very words. Let me give you an example of that. If you turn over to Galatians, this is just one example, for time will only permit one example this morning. But you turn over to Galatians chapter 3, and you will see that Paul was teaching, God gave the prophet, and in this case it was Moses. He gave Moses the very word to write. Galatians chapter 3. Now if you look at verse 16. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Do you see what Paul is saying there? When Moses wrote down the word that God gave to Abraham in Genesis 22 and verse 18, God used the word seed to Abraham. To thy seed are the promises made. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And Paul's saying, you mark it, God didn't say unto seeds as of many. But he used the word seed in singular because it's primarily a reference to Christ. Christ is the seed of Abraham. And it's in and through Jesus Christ that all nations have the blessing of the gospel. And therefore, God was exact. He did not say, as of seeds. But he said, in thy seed. And the word's important. And God gave the word seed, thus showing that God gave every word to those who wrote the scriptures. We believe in the plenary, verbal inspiration of the word of God. The very words themselves were inspired by God to the prophets, and they wrote down what God gave them. And therefore, if every word is inspired, then every word is important. And every word should be considered by the Christian for the feeding and nourishment of his soul. That's the variety. God has given you 66 books. He has given you all of his word, and he wants you to feed your soul upon it all. Therefore, Christian, read God's word. And get into it day after day. There's one final thought I want to leave with you this morning, and I will be brief. We were a little later getting started the preaching this morning, but I will be brief as we draw to a close. We've thought about the value of God's word, and we've thought about the variety of God's word, living in all of God's word. But let me close by drawing from Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, this thought, the victory of God's word. This is not the last time in the Bible that we read this verse. Man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. If you turn over in closing to Matthew chapter 4 and to verse 4, you will be reminded that the Lord Jesus quoted this verse of Scripture when he was tempted by the devil. Matthew 4 and verse 3, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus has been in the wilderness for 40 days. And he has fasted. And his physical man is hungering. And the devil comes to tempt him. And he said, if you're really the Son of God, you make these stones to be turned into bread and feed yourself upon them. And of course the devil was tempting him not to trust in his heavenly Father. How did Jesus respond? He answered and said in verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus was telling the devil, man is more than a physical being, and he needs more than literal bread. He feeds and he lives by and on the word of God. But do you see that when the Savior quoted this verse, he was teaching us not merely that the Word of God is food to nourish the soul, but that the Word of God is a weapon to defend the soul from the attacks of the devil. The Bible, the Word of God, is the sword of the Spirit. It is, as it were, that great defense when Satan tempts us to despair, when he draws us and tempts us away to sin? How can we overcome his temptation? How can we overcome the sins of this world? By living by and feeding our souls upon and unsheathing the sword of the Spirit against the temptations of the devil, we overcome sin by the Word of God. Isn't that what the psalmist taught us in Psalm 119? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto thy word. Young man, young woman, you want to live for the Lord. You want to rise above the temptations of the age in this world. You'll do it by taking heed to and by obeying the word of the Lord. You'll cleanse your life and your way by living by the word of God. The psalmist went on in verse 11 of the same psalm, Psalm 119, to say, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You want to live for the Lord? You want to be faithful to him? You want to overcome the attacks of the devil? You want to know victory through Christ in this world? Then hide God's word in your heart. Embed it in your soul. And you will know victory as you live for the Lord Jesus Christ. The value of God's word, we live by it and on it, and without it we cannot survive. The variety of God's word, he has given every word for the benefit of our souls, and the victory through God's word. When Satan tempts you, you quote the Bible, you remember the word of God in your soul, and he will give you blessing and overcoming power.